right. I've got the camera too low tonight. There we go. Tonight, Walt Disney World is going to be projecting images into your hotel room. God, I hope it's not a blacklight. The writer's stop is closing and Stitch's Great Escape is going seasonal. How long until we see Stitch eating a stale carrot cake cookie on OBT? Walt Disney World is releasing 45th anniversary merchandise over two separate days. Man, they can't even open merchandise without it being in phases anymore. You've read WW News Today, now you'll experience WW News Tonight. Yay, fake applause! Yay, we can't get the link to work! Yay, everybody! Welcome to WW News Tonight. I'm Tom Corliss, and you're not.
Don't have to tell me twice.
Josh is here again. Look, wait, we have Josh on his own camera. Can we pull it up? There you go. Look at that garbage camera Josh brought with him. He gets his own applause.
An iPhone 7 Plus.
There you go. And Nicholas Cicero over there.
Good evening, everyone. I get my own camera as well.
You usually do.
Sometimes.
And Mike Batista is running things in the production booth. This evening, what are you doing, Mike? What is that?
That looks like Stitch.
Oh, well, he doesn't have a home anymore, so I guess anyone at home can see it. But anyway, I digress. Welcome to WW News Tonight. Sorry, we're having problems getting the link to people. It wasn't embedded in time and whatever. I don't know what's going on.
But thanks for listening.
Yeah, I'll check in the chat. Oh, if you refresh now, it should be there at listen.ww. Not that if you're watching this, it would matter already, but... Justin in the chat to let everybody
know. That is true.
Thank you, Justin Heyman, as always. And now, Nick, the news!
The news!
Brought to you by TeePublic. It's a busy news week, man. 2 weeks. We've been off. We were supposed to have a show last week, but we just ate too much.
You know, it just didn't happen. Yeah. We planned to get you a nice Food & Wine Fest review, but I guess we're going to do that tonight. And, yeah, just didn't get back to the studio in time. There was no way.
Yeah, but that being said, members of the WDWNT Inner Globe Society on Patreon already have had the audio in their possession.
Wigs. So,
yeah, members of the Wigs. Be sure to go join. Exclusive content over there. Nick, while the Writer's Stop was temporarily saved from closing earlier this year when it was converted into the Writer's Stop Lounge, it seems time has finally run out for the establishment. Maybe it was the asymmetrical cheese plates that did it in. Never the same cheese plate twice.
Mm.
Writers,
you've had that more than once?
No, but you ever notice, like, some of them had different numbers of cheeses, and it was never it was never the same. Like, I don't know if someone just was like, I'm an artist, and no two cheese plates are the same.
That let's give it that backstory. I like it.
Sure. Writer's Stop will have its final day of operation on September 25th and will be closed forever as of September 26th. The carrot cake cookie that has been a staple of the Commissary Lane eatery will still be available at Sweet Spells on Sunset Boulevard, but I'm sure it doesn't taste the same, even though it still comes from the same kitchen. I'm just going by what the moms on Facebook tell me. Moms like you choose carrot cake cookies. There has been no word on if the Writer's Stop will reopen after construction of the Star Wars themed land is complete, but it is highly unlikely.
Got to start those theme park kids out young on those high sugar intensive foods.
Yes, absolutely. The connected sci-fi dine-in restaurant will not be affected by the closure, so it will be the last functioning establishment left at Hollywood Studios.
So are you closing this place out? Will you be there on the 25th?
I think I'd like to try and get the last carrot cake cookie, but I'm sure there's some OCD person who's like already sitting there like telling all the cast members, like, I'm getting the last cookie. My last cookie.
It's me.
It's you. It's Josh. Josh wants the last spiced nuts. Like that's the last stale pretzel.
I'm getting those either
and
way.
Old plastic cheese goes to Easy Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I digress. Beginning today, September 21st, Sanaa at Animal Kingdom Lodge is beginning a breakfast service called, I'm going to ruin this, Kumsha. Kumsha means grow profits in Swahili, as you all know. The service includes grab-and-go options as well as counter service offerings from 7
Yeah, 7.
7 to 10 a.m. Yeah. daily, then privileged DVC members will have to schlep over to the Mara if they need nourishment at that time.
So are they going to let you eat there if it's grab and go? Can I go look at the animals?
It's a good question. It's functioning as a counter service. So there is grab and go options, but then there's also several counter service meals, which you can obviously go eat in the seating area. I'm sure if you got a grab and go option, no one's going to stop you.
Like I'm going to be able to go watch the animals and eat my breakfast.
Yeah,
with my parking lot view, that'll be nice.
There you go, parking lot view.
Do we know any of the foods? Any of the kind
the
of
full
foods?
Menu?
Yeah.
Is available at wdwnt.com right now.
Does anything look good to you?
Yeah, there's a couple of they have some of the stuff that's available over at the Mara.
Okay.
So some of that the Mara does it, as you've told me many times, Nick. The Mara does a great breakfast.
Yeah,
so.
They do.
I think we're going Friday mornings. The plan. We're going to go try out this Sanaa breakfast. We'll see how it is. Starting October 2nd, Stitch's Great Escape, this is big news today, Stitch's Great Escape of the Magic Kingdom will change to a seasonally operating attraction. The show will return for the busy 2016 holiday season for two periods, November 19th through the 26th, and again December 17th through January 2nd. With any luck, that should be the last we have to see of this attraction. Walt Disney World, of course, has not offered a seasonally operating attraction in many years, not since the mid-2000s, when they would open what was left of the Wonders of Life at Epcot during the busy holiday season. Of course, Wonders of Life was retired shortly thereafter. That's typically what happens to seasonally operating attractions. In fact, Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress is the only attraction in the history of the Disney parks to come out of seasonal operation in its same form and return to normal operation. Stitch's Great Escape is rumored, of course, to close permanently in the not-too-distant future to be replaced with a Wreck-It Ralph attraction. Usually Ralph would say, I'm going to wreck it, but in this case, I'm not sure how he could possibly do any worse. The seasonal closure could be used also to start work on the new attraction inside the building, at least some prep work early on. So there you go. The end of Stitch's Great Escape is drawing near to at least be seasonal starting October 2nd. October 1st, the last daily operating day for that attraction. You know, Walt Disney Parks and Resorts sends out some interesting surveys to guests every now and again. Do you remember the Disney run Uber style service? Maybe the infamous $15 resort fee they polled people about? Well, there's a new one out. The new one is about asking pass holders about the possibility of blackout dates after rides and shows debut at the theme parks and what they might do if they were not allowed into the parks after the debut of something new like that. It would be intriguing to see what such a rule might do to the already confusing annual pass pricing structure of Walt Disney World, but again, still very blue sky, as is anything you might see in a Walt Disney World Resort survey. That being said, also rumored a Typhoon Lagoon annual pass that is only valid from 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays in the summer. Also being surveyed.
What do they expect people to say when they ask, would you like your pass to be blocked out after an opening attraction? Does anybody
click
yes?
I don't think one of the options is even like, no. I think they were like, I would buy a one-day ticket. Or one of them is, I will wait. But it's like, I will wait. I will buy a one-day ticket. I will upgrade my annual pass.
It's what would you, not would you like
they
it.
They want to basically know if they started blocking out the lower pass people from new attractions, would they just be like, screw it, I'm going to upgrade. They're trying to figure out, can they get more money out of people, basically.
Now, I saw some questions about this. So if a new attraction was opening at the Magic Kingdom, would you be blacked out
of just
the Magic
that one park,
Kingdom?
I believe, yeah. Which is something they actually do with cast members quite a bit. Cast members have been blocked out of individual parks after the debut of attractions. It's a fairly regular thing. The question is, with the current structure, with what you sign, the legal agreement you go into for an annual pass currently, could they alter that on the fly? I don't think they can. I think we'll have to start at a certain point in time. Like, they can't basically screw over the existing silver or whatever. I forget.
Right. It'd be when you renew.
Yeah, and they'll start that where they can kick in. It will be so many days a year, but they can decide when those days will be.
How much notice are they going to give me?
We don't know. I mean, this is just a survey.
Am I still blocked out of Animal Kingdom waiting for Rivers of Light?
Yeah, probably.
8 months.
No Jungle
dates.
Book
it's
alive
right
with magic
corner.
For you, Josh.
Right around the corner, guys.
Yeah. I'm assuming you would upgrade.
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to. The Tom Kouros clearly has the highest level pass. I mean, Tom Kouros doesn't want to be blocked out any day.
Oh, so this is so if you
this wouldn't be for people with regular annual pass.
Oh. No.
There's always going to be a top level pass that includes every day. I mean, that's never not going to exist. Well, if they can sell you a top tier item,
okay,
they're going to sell you a top tier item.
So that makes more sense. So they're not thinking about then adding another tier on top of what's already there. They're talking about doing something down below.
Yeah, they might end up blocking the silver pass. Might lose more days or whatever the hell.
Okay. Yeah. See, that makes a lot more. I still don't think it's a good thing, but it's still that makes a lot more sense than what I was imagining. Okay.
All right. The monkeys are coming to Disney World, and I don't mean the band to Flower and Garden because they're dead.
Sorry, monkeys.
The meanest joke we've ever done. So mean.
All right. Well, it's free and clear for the rest of the
everybody.
Show, guys. Do whatever you want. Nobody's listening.
All right. Anyway,
no one cares about the monkeys.
We thought they were a great band. I love the monkeys. It was an easy joke. A new species of monkeys or monkey is coming to Maharaja Jungle Trek, the walkthrough exhibit at Animal Kingdom.
About time.
An area of the Jungle Trek has been behind walls for several months now, just like the rest of the park. as a new home was built for these creatures, the lion-tailed macaw or maca. I don't even know.
I think it's macaw. No,
macaw's a bird. Macaw.
What?
I'm not saying nope. Well, you can go read the spelling online before this gets horribly out of control.
Some clickbait.
Reeling them in. The monkeys have been living backstage already for several months now that have not yet debuted. Rumor has it that the wireless control system for them has been malfunctioning. Wait, I think I have my stories crossed. I'm not sure. They have also been added to the attraction signage outside. It is unknown when they will debut, but it is expected to be before the opening of Pandora, the world of Avatar. Yeah. Here you go. The exhibit will be home to three females and one male of the species, so the average crowd on a Friday night at Spice Road Tavern. There's a Spice Road table joke in my I went around and did the Remy's hide and squeak.
Yeah.
There's a 30-minute video of just me doing this stupid scavenger hunt. There is a Spice Road table joke in there if people haven't seen it. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. More clickbait. There you go. Magic Kingdom Park is celebrating 45 years on October 1st, and Walt Disney World is celebrating with two merchandise releases filled with vintage style goodness. Including this shirt. I'll show people. There you go.
Hello.
Woo-hoo. I was their shirt, even though it's still like a week and a half away. Anyway, where was I? Many of the logo products, including apparel, open edition pins, home goods, and more, will be released at select locations tomorrow, September 22nd, at the Magic Kingdom. Two Dooney and Burke handbags appeared first in the Shop Disney Parks app. They will now be available at the Emporium starting tomorrow as well. Disney will be releasing several items on October 1st at the Emporium. Guests and annual pass holders will find an I Was There t-shirt, which for some reason was already sold through the app. And there will also be a limited edition pin, limited to 3,000 pieces, and a limited edition retail magic band, which is really awesome, by the way.
It is.
Edition size of 4,500 on that. Across the street at Uptown Jewelers on that day, guests will find a commemorative 45th anniversary dangle charm by Pandora, or as Tom calls it, Alex and Ani. Finally, guests can visit the Disney Parks online store October 1st of the night to find limited release t-shirts. Several of the t-shirts will feature classic attractions that have been at the Magic Kingdom since 1971 and will soon be replaced by more relevant IPs.
I'm on the fence about that Disney Village shirt that's out now.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll I don't need the Neverland Club one. And
I need the Neverland
Club. Really? So that one, you did that one? Yeah?
I didn't buy it yet. I don't even know if they're still on there.
They're there until tomorrow.
Okay, I'll do it tonight then.
I think I'm getting the Disney Village shirt, though. I like that one, yeah.
All right. According to Le Journal de Montreal, a highly acclaimed new band is coming to the Canna Pavilion at Epcot for a limited time, and they don't wear paper bags on their heads. After presenting concerts in Quebec and Europe this summer, Celtic rock band, that sounds familiar, Baudhactan will perform for two periods of 20 days at Epcot in October and January. So they're about as seasonal as a bad MK attraction. Baudhactan will perform 20 minutes every hour, 5 days a week, as part of this contract. Disney wanted them to sign to 6 months, but they declined as they did not want to be at Epcot when Guardians of the Galaxy opened.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. They didn't want to be there for that. They actually wanted to spend time with their family.
Who does?
But, you know. Anyway. Due to what sources inside the company are saying is overwhelming response to the program, Fuel Rod will be expanding resort-wide over the next few weeks. According to Fuel Rod employees, 15 additional kiosks will be added. So far, we've seen 3 additional machines at the Magic Kingdom, doubling capacity at some locations. Another 12 of these machines are now going to be added to the other parks, just despite all the people who said they already bought a much bigger one on Amazon. As Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom all currently just have 1 Fuel Rod kiosk each. Epcot will be adding at least 4 more kiosks, but we don't know exactly where those will be. Fuel Rod kiosks hold 75 fully charged fuel rods inside of them, but then need to be manually refilled by a hot and sweaty Fuel Rod agent carrying a duffel bag filled with Mentos-shaped charging devices. The existing kiosks needed to be refilled several times a day, a problem Fuel Rod never experienced in any of their other locations around the country.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Are they hiring?
Probably. The addition of 15 more Fuel Rod kiosks will bring the total Walt Disney World up to 25, which is more than the number of people Spice Road Table has ever seen. We will provide an updated list as soon as it becomes available. There you go.
That'd be a good job.
Love Fuel Rods.
Delivering fuel rods.
There you go.
We're already there.
I know, right?
Yeah,
right.
We're already hit every location.
Just leave us a bag.
Every day.
Yeah. A rather interesting casting call was put out recently on the Disney Auditions website. Disney Parks Talent Casting is seeking male actors to portray Doctor Strange for a limited engagement appearance this fall at the Walt Disney World Resort. As you probably know, Marvel characters do not appear at the Walt Disney World Resort per the deal between Marvel and Universal Parks. So has Disney found another loophole in regards to Doctor Strange, similar to those surrounding Guardians of the Galaxy, who once appeared at Disney's Hollywood Studios and will now appear everywhere else at Walt Disney World? Or will this take place outside of a theme park? That is the question, but nonetheless, they are casting for a Doctor Strange. Nick, you got to be excited about this. You're a big Marvel guy.
I am. You know, this is really cool news, and I could, you know, it would be great if it was a meet and greet location.
Maybe it's studios because they're going to do the preview.
There. Right. But, you know, I don't know if a loophole means maybe he's just there for like a Disney Parks blog meetup or, you know, maybe. I don't know if they do a big casting call like this.
I think
like
he can appear, but I think it can't be marketed. I think that's still the rule.
Interesting. Because, I mean, I could see him maybe appearing at some events at downtown or Disney Springs to, yeah, I know, I still do it. Disney Springs
He's going to be at the Virgin Megastore.
Is that Cumberbatch?
Yeah, that Benedict Cumberbatch is.
The guy does not have a lot of lookalikes.
Probably not really, but yeah, Dr. Strange.
Is he in a mask? Because you're not going to find somebody that looks like that guy.
I mean, good looking?
Ever.
There's only so many good-looking people in Orlando.
Is he good-looking?
And I mean, they're all on this show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Nope, they're not.
Oh, sorry. Thought we were... No? Okay.
All right. Disney has filed a patent for a specialty light bulb that would be able to project animated imagery onto surfaces in guest hotel rooms. This is a great idea until a lonely fanboy has a 4D projection of Stacy from the 7 Must-Sees in his room. Josh demanded I say 4D for the presence of a water effect, which I will leave to your imagination. Anyway.
It's getting weird.
Tough room. Would you stop? Idiot. According to cast members who work at the Universe of Energy, yes, there are some of those. They're hard to find. They have been informed by managers of a closing date for the Ellen's Energy Adventure attraction. If the cast members are to be believed, because they're never wrong, you guys, am I right? The attraction will shutter in January 2017 to make way for the rumored Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster. The Guardians of the Galaxy ride is likely to be announced at the upcoming Destination D event by Bob Chapek, who will then be carried off the stage by angry fans who will force him to ride a Walt Disney World bus as punishment.
It'll be interesting to see the reception if there's boos.
Well, there's going to need to be boos. I want to be plastered after that. Oh, you said boos, like boo. Oh, okay, yeah. Those two.
He can't announce it. He's in that room.
I want this more than life itself. I want to see Bob Chapek alone is going to get booed. Like, he has to get booed going up there. I'm going to do it. I don't really care. I paid for my ticket.
Yeah.
I'm going to boo this idiot.
Yeah.
You know, so regardless of what he's going to be there for, he deserves to be booed. Unless he comes around and then says, like, Universe Energy is going to be something else, and then I'll change my mind. But otherwise, he's getting booed. And then we're putting him on a bus at park close at Magic Kingdom, and he's got to sit through that.
Yeah.
Feel our pain. Anyway. We posted a little over a month ago that Shark Reef would be closing in September. We were almost right. It's actually going to be closing on October 2nd at Typhoon Lagoon. Quote, they're closing everything at Walt Disney World. I'm not coming back until everything is done, said that one guy who comments on every post. Okay, let's not pretend that guy is, there's always that one guy who's just like, they close everything.
Every
it's
time.
It's the worst.
I'm sick of reading those comments.
Come on. Yeah, anyway. The Magic Kingdom will be introducing a dining package for the Festival of Fantasy Parade starting October 10th. The package replaces the one offered for the Main Street Electrical Parade. The Electrical Parade, of course, concluding on October 9th. So rather than cancel the program, Disney will move it over to the afternoon parade. The dining package still takes place at Tony's Town Square Restaurant, but thankfully the parade is easier to swallow than the food. So there you go. Nick, who brought us the news this week?
Tom, that would be TeePublic. Don't forget to shop for apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com. And TeePublic, just go to the WDWNT.com and click on the TeePublic link to shop from hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more.
Including Make the Movie Ride Great Again.
That is a good shirt for this
A good shirt?
Season.
What's a shirt?
A good shirt.
It's a good shirt
for this political season.
It is. Anyway.
And the Tom Corliss Mean Tweets March Tragic shirt, which we did see someone wearing that when we went to the Food and Wine Fest.
We did. We spotted it out in the wild.
And so it's cool because, you know, if you're wearing one of these shirts from our TeePublic shop, we're going to spot you when we're out and about. And, you know, we'll
unless
we'll
you wear
to
it
you.
Under a plaid shirt, then we'll.
That's right. Then we'll have no idea that you're wearing it. But the 7 shirt is still a great one. Definitely check that one out as well. We got the logo shirts, too. So make the most of tonight's commercial breaks. Head over to WDWNT.com and start shopping by clicking on that TeePublic link today. TeePublic, an official partner of WDW News Tonight.
Yes.
All right, Tom, what are we doing when we come back here?
We got to start getting contestants on the line, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
It is our annual Food and Wine Festival special edition of WDWNT The Price is Right. We're going to play some food and wine related pricing games when we come back. Nick, the number is 407-774-8255. Call in to play. We got some great prizes, of course, from Theme Park Connection. And, of course, lots more to come. Review of the entire festival, The Wonderful World of Psychotic Comets, much, much more tonight on WDW News Tonight. Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. We are live on AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando, live on YouTube, live at listen.wdwnt.com, and of course on WDWNT, the app. We like to thank you as always for tuning in. You make this show possible, and as our gift to you, we give you games and prizes courtesy of Theme Park Connection. And Nick, are we ready to play?
Yeah, we are, Tom.
It's time for radio's most fabulous few minutes of games and prizes. It's WDWNT, The Price is Right. Take it away, Nick.
All right, Gabe, come on down. You're our first contestant on tonight's edition of WDWNT, The Price is Right. How you doing?
Hey, Nick.
So what, you just got back from a Disney cruise?
Yeah. Actually, I did. It was very fun, yeah.
You had a good time out there?
Which boat?
Yeah.
The Fantasy. We did the 7-day Eastern.
Seven?
Day. Yeah, 7.
Thank you.
This guy doesn't need any prizes. Next caller.
All right, Gabe, I'm going to give you a chance since you're our first caller tonight. You want to do something with prices of merchandise, or would you rather do prices of food and stuff like that?
Merchandise.
All right.
Atta
here
boy.
You go. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a version of the grocery game here. I'm going to list 5 items you could find at the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival this year. You need to pick as many of these 5 items as you want to get a final total price of between $32 and $37. 32 to 37. So here are your five items. We have the festival logo baseball cap, the festival food tray, you know, the tray with the little spot for the plastic for the drink holder, thing. The plastic tray, that little plastic tray, the festival garbage can salt and pepper shaker. The festival logo plastic, or actually this is a ceramic tumbler, festival ceramic tumbler.
Ceramic tumbler.
And the Figment oven mitt. So you got the baseball cap, the tray, salt and pepper shaker, the tumbler, and the oven mitt. You need $32 to $37.
All right. I think I'm going to go with the oven mitt, the ceramic tumbler, and the salt and pepper shaker.
That is $119 worth of stuff. Next caller! Just kidding, Gabe. You did great.
Wait, really?
No. Josh has no answers in front of him. Don't listen to Josh. Josh, why do I keep inviting you?
Nobody knows.
All right, let's check this out. We got the Figment.
Josh, by the way, is in the upside down from Stranger Things, if you can't tell. Look out, there's a monster.
It's going to be fine.
Just flicker the light so I know you're okay.
It'll be fine.
Spell out your review and I'll type it for you. Anyway.
No, we don't want you typing things out, Tom.
Oh, shut up.
All right, so the Figment oven mitt, the retail price is $15.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You already know us. The festival garbage can salt and pepper shaker, the retail price on that one is
$10. $9.99, yeah.
So you were at $25 here.
Okay, that means it's not going to be anywhere close to $10.
Let's check it out. What is the retail price of the festival tumbler? $22.
Anything ceramics always $19.99 or higher.
Mm-hmm. All right, but thanks for playing, Gabe. We appreciate it. Anytime.
You should have read my post about all the merchandise. It has all the prices.
Mm. I did, but do you think I have time to memorize prices?
Well, you should. You would be going home with a fabulous prize right now.
Thank you very much.
Look at Nick. Show him the bag. Look at this bag. It's just full of Tom's extra, all the dessert parties I went to.
There we go.
All the dessert parties.
We got BB-8 zipper.
How many more Chewbaccas are in there?
Three. Two.
Oh, look at the card. Show them the cards.
The cards are cool.
This is a cool prize we have tonight if you win. These are from Walt Disney Imagineering. These are the Star Wars Land Coming Soon. They're big litho cards. Yeah. They're real cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's what you missed out on because you didn't study my post.
We snagged a bunch off the table at the pin event.
I asked them. I went to them. They were sitting there at the pin event. I was like, what are you guys doing with those? And they said, we don't want to take them back. We're going to leave them. And
nice.
I said, can I take them? And they were like, sure. And I took them.
Excellent. And now we will spread the wealth to you guys. Thanks for playing tonight, Gabe. We'll talk to you next time.
Mm-hmm. Tom, check my DMs.
Check his DM stuff. He's sending you something cool.
What's a DM? Do I want to know?
Aren't you a millennial?
I'm not.
No, you're not. You missed
the
millennial.
No, I don't own a Mumford & Son shirt.
All right. Well, if anyone else wants to play the WWNT, The Price is Right, give us a call, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255.
Yep. Do we want to get into food and wine?
Yeah, while we're waiting for some calls to come in, we could always interrupt our review to play some more games. But yeah, let's get into our 2016 food and wine review.
So obviously last week this began, the 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. And Josh and myself and Nick and everyone, we went out there and we tried a lot of stuff. And so what we're going to try to do tonight is help you out, give you our reviews, what we thought of not only all the new items, but some of the returning favorites as well. And what we're going to do this year, I know in previous years this has been done on WWNT, the radio show, which was an audio-only show. This is a video show. So we're kind of going to do a little bit of both. We do have several review segments we recorded live while we were eating the food. And then we'll also come back here and talk about some of the stuff we didn't record in audio. There are several segments we aren't going to play tonight. Those eventually will be released on the WW News Today podcast. They are already available to WIGS members through Patreon. If you are donating through Patreon, all levels $5 and above already have access to those audio reviews. But anyway, I digress. So we're going to start. We're going to use the guide, and we're not going to talk about the stamps yet, Nick. I think later you and I are going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But let's start with Josh. I want to start with Joffrey's.
Yeah.
And you said something earlier. You said you think Joffrey's had the best alcoholic beverages of the festival.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I got a frozen drink with two shots of Grey Goose for $10.50. It was nicely balanced, not too sugary, not too sweet. The alcohol covered up fantastic. And if you go to any of those other cocktails, they're going to give you an ounce of garbage vodka, like the Pumpkin Chai is Pinnacle Caramel Vodka.
Yeah. We tried all four. Did you like the Frozen Strawberry Lemon Sunset? That was the one I was kind of iffy on. But
yeah.
I love the other three. The Tiki Torch, which is passion fruit with, Grey Goose Vodka. There's a spiked chai latte and a Kahlua Tini iced coffee. I really liked all of those. I mean, they're roughly about $10 each, and they're good. They're good options. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, and we had this conversation before, outside of the Joffrey's drinks, alcohol-wise, I think dessert drinks are usually pretty solid from the festival booths, but otherwise, outside of one or two beers, I'm not really crazy about the value or the offerings alcohol-wise at the food and wine booths.
Well, if you want a tasty drink, they're all pretty tasty, but yeah. If you're...
Like you want a nice size drink.
Drinking for purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
I like the Kahlua Tini. I got that later on.
Did
got
you?
That second time I went over there.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, that was my favorite of the four.
Something I'll get a few times, yeah. Yeah, I'd pay for that over many of the, well, pretty much over any of the drinks we had. I think I'll get the apple pie one again, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, the Charlotka.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, I kind of agree with you guys that this was the best alcohol in the festival.
Yeah. Speaking of alcohol, Craft Beers is back at the Odyssey Center. Nick, we have a pre-recorded bit from that we're going to play for everybody. Let's go.
Yeah, we're gonna play this, and then when we get back, we have some contestants for The Price is Right.
Cool.
So
we'll
we have
right
some
back.
More slots open, so 407-774-8255 for that. But here is our audio review of the Craft Beers.
Is this where the bathrooms are, where they have, like, the tops that you press? The hot and the cold?
They change them out recently.
Oh.
Did they touch my bathroom?
Really?
Do you?
I have to.
When did they change my bathroom?
They updated those faucets, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Just the faucet, but they didn't redo the interior.
Or maybe, am I thinking wonders?
Right. We're fine, the Odyssey restaurant.
What did they do before?
You know, the faucets that are, like, you press? Yeah, that's, like, hot.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I'm not sure what jam's going on.
Knobs or
are we beering?
Probably not.
Okay, because that's a little different.
Are we ready to do this, ladies and gentlemen?
We're ready.
All right. He's recording?
Yep.
Red Craft Beer, which is in the Odyssey, the most wonderful building on planet Earth.
Probably.
And there are 2 3 beer flights this year.
Yeah, a little bit
there
different.
There's also food in here. There are these piggy wings.
You get two.
You get 2 piggy wings for Josh. How much was that?
$4.75.
$4.75 for 2
smells
piggy wings.
Smells good.
They smell good. I don't know how we're going to... I guess we're just going to bite it.
You're just going to bite into it. You're going to go for it.
Yeah.
It looks like they have some sesame topping.
Mm-hmm. I tried to take a smaller bite, but it literally fell off the bone. It's so good. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're delicious. That really good flavor. Good pork.
I would be back for those.
2 for $4.75, though?
I would still be back. I like
really?
Those a lot. They're so tasty.
It depends. Depends the mood.
So, so tender.
I would love to see those elsewhere, though. Those are really good.
They're good. All right, beers.
Beers.
Let's start with beer flight one.
That's a good
Let's
choice.
Go
what do we got?
Okay. Number one is the Orlando Brewing, Orlando Weiss.
Weiss.
Yeah, so that's that one. That's one, right?
I assume so. Looks like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's got to be in that order, I suppose. One would assume left to right.
not my type of
thing. Josh, come in here and do beer with us.
Yeah, Josh, come here.
You're the expert.
It's not as good as the Brewers Collection one.
Nothing from Orlando Brewing.
Yeah, it seems to be your general thought on them. No.
No.
Yeah.
It's very light. Yeah. And yeah.
All right. Number two is going to be the Florida Beer Company Passport 20 Belgian-style triple ale from Cape Canaveral, Florida. It's the beer the astronauts took to the moon. I'm joking. It's not a thing.
No, they took it to Mars.
I like that. Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh, I like that one a lot.
It's good. It's fine. Yeah. Nothing to write home about.
This next one I'm excited about.
Yeah, this is the Two Henrys Blueberry Vanilla American Wheat Ale from Plant City.
Plant City, Florida.
I don't like these new cups. They're so flimsy.
These are—they have the monster.
They are. They're not good cups, are they?
I don't really like blueberry. That's delicious.
Oh, okay. Didn't think you took enough there to know.
No, that's delicious.
Vanilla blueberry. Oh, see?
You don't like it?
No, the blueberry is a little medicine-y to me.
I like that blueberry.
Sorry.
But I'm partial to, like, blueberry Pop-Tarts, so that... It's a kin kind of blueberry flavor to that.
It's pretty artificial.
Yeah.
That's what I said, like, blueberry Pop-Tarts. Like, that's not real blueberry.
So that's good to you.
I like artificial fruit flavor.
It is like very artificial.
Nutri-Grain bar? You ever have a Nutri-Grain bar? They're so good.
No, it does. It tastes like the flavor of a Pop-Tart or something like
a
that.
A blueberry Nutri-Grain bar.
Like bubblegum.
I like that.
Yeah.
What? I can't like Nutri-Grain bars.
It's very...
All right, beer flight two.
Not very beer tasting.
All right, both beer flights are $9.
I am so excited about a couple of these.
And they do accept the vouchers from the, what is that called again, that package?
The something tastings.
Tasting package or whatever?
Yeah.
Where they do two sizes. There's a $59 and a $109. $59 gets you 8 vouchers, and then the $109 gets you 16 vouchers.
Tasting sampler.
Tasting sampler. And the vouchers are good for most all food and beverage, including a beer flight.
At China drinks.
China's
but
so far it's
the only place in town.
Okay. So the first one we have is a Concrete Beach Stiltsville Pilsner from Miami, Florida.
I don't know if I'm going to be
like
crazy about this one. I do like the 3-pack, though.
Whoa.
It's easy to carry.
Not really sweet. Not a big
one. Oh, so bitter.
The cough syrup.
So bitter.
I appreciate that it's a good beer, but it's not
bad. It's alright.
I don't like that. Josh.
Yeah, I know you don't like those kinds. It's alright.
It?
It's not.
That's the
not great.
Phil Pilsner. I'm not crazy about that.
But I could do that one.
Lemon?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I don't know. No. Three Daughters Bimini Twist IPA from
I'm
St.
excited
Peter's
to try this one.
You said that for like everyone.
No, I didn't for most of them.
This is alcohol. I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no.
No?
Nope.
I don't think you like IPAs.
I don't.
That's not a good IPA.
Oh, the aftertaste.
Oh, God.
No,
yeah, thank
good.
You.
I've had it before.
What is up with that?
Hook me up.
Oh.
All right, I'm excited about
this.
You
served that all over.
Have you had it before?
That's disgusting.
Oh. All right.
Oh. What is that?
We have the one I'm excited for now, Nick. This is the Shipyard Midnight Snack Milk Stout.
Yes.
Very excited.
I'm very, yeah. What's going on with Milk Stout? I don't know.
So tart at the end.
Yes. Well,
sour.
I love that. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good.
It was like eight
ooh,
and a half
it smells.
Yeah, it's got a
amazing.
Coffee aftertaste.
Yep, I could smell the coffee.
Yeah.
You guys seen it?
I love that.
They did.
But I like weird, dark beers. But that's.
A little bit of chocolate?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love this.
The Midnight
Josh,
Snack is a good name
that.
For that because I could see wanting that like as a little dessert-y type thing.
Midnight Snack.
Yeah. I like that, too. That's really
that's my
good.
Favorite. I like, Beer Flight, too, the first two are terrible, but I like the Milk Stout. I get the Milk Stout again.
I'm fine with the Pilsner. The IPA
really?
Was absolutely awful.
I didn't like anything else in this one. The first flight was probably better overall.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, what did we like in the first one?
Well, the Weiss was bad.
Yeah, but we like the other two.
Yeah, the Triple Ale and the Wheat Ale.
You didn't like the Blueberry.
It was okay, but yeah, it was very, like, kind of artificial. Like, that's a good word for that one.
Those piggy wings are so good. I know you only get two.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Delicious.
I like this. It's the Odyssey, and there's good food, and there's some good beers.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. Is there any other food items? They have the
there
snacks, like the snack mix or anything?
And what's the other thing, Josh?
Pimento they have, like, cheese. The nuts or something?
Pimento cheese.
Pimento cheese.
Which is
pretty
good.
Yeah.
The charcuterie is...
Plus, you get air conditioned, and you get to drink in the Odyssey.
Yeah, which is life.
All right, quick note. You don't get the beer flight with the tabs. They just didn't know what they were doing. The first
go early, go often.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you do, when you buy that tasting package, you get this. This is like a cool little...
That's a nice pin.
Jumbo pin size. It's really neat, but like I never opened it. There's nothing in there. Hold on. Like, there's a little bit of art deco, but look at all this dead space.
Right, it's cool closed. It has a nice effect.
It should have just been made like that. It didn't need to be hinged.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Would it hold the coupon? No.
No. All right, time to play more Price is Right. Georgia, come on down. You're our next contestant on WDWNT, The Price is Right. Good evening, Georgia.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling in today. I know you've called before, but where do you call in from?
Fullerton,
California. Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, have you been over to the Epcot Food and Wine Fest before?
I have not been to the Epcot Food and Wine Fest before.
Have
you been to the California Adventure Food and Wine Fest?
I have been there, yes.
All right. Is it better than ours?
She hasn't been to art.
No,
she's seen pictures. I'm sure she's seen it.
As a default, as a California local, they have to say it's better.
Do you have an Eat to the Beat concert with the monkeys?
Nope.
No monkeys. All right, well, we're going to play Price is Right. We're going to play this game where you have to get things in the order of least to the most, least price, lowest price to the highest price here. Yeah, all right. So we're going to list three items you can find at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. They may be merchandise items. They may be food items. They may be drink items. You need to list them in order of least to most expensive, and you need to get two sets of three items correct to win. So let's start with set number one here. And we have the festival, quote-unquote, toothpick holder, shot glass. We have that. We have the Brews Around the World ornament. And we have the limited release Figment Festival logo pin.
All right. I would say probably the toothpick holder is the least. And then the pin, and then the ornament.
All right, let's see. The retail price of the toothpick holder is $10. The retail price of the limited release Figment pin is $15. And the retail price of the Brews Around the World ornament is $20. Very good. Very good. You got the first set correct. So now you have some breathing room here, just in case you get set too wrong. But here you go. We have three items here, food items that you can find around the Food and Wine Fest this year. We're going to start off with the, we have from the Chew Collective, we have the grilled beef skewer. From the Chocolate Studio, we have the liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle. Mm. And from the Islands of the Caribbean, we have the Jamaican beef patty. So least to most, the beef skewer. The truffle or the beef patty?
Wow. Let's say the skewer. A patty and a skewer. The truffle's definitely at the high point. And then I would say the patty is the low and the skewer in the middle.
I would reassess that.
All right, well, let's say...
Wait, she was kidding.
I'm thinking the skewer might be at the bottom and the patty.
Josh, you can't help them.
Get Gabe back on the line.
Josh, we know you are the rain man of food pricing, but you can't help them.
All right, well, let's check this out. We got the chocolate almond truffle. The price is $4.50 on that one. The Jamaican beef patty is $4.75 and the grilled beef skewer is $5. Oops, wrong button.
What you put in? Yeah, there you go.
Sorry. But you got one set left.
That liquid nitrogen threw me off. Usually they jack the price up on stuff that's cool.
Hmm. Well, here you go. You got three drinks now in set number three. And we're going to start off...
Just like in a flight.
Exactly. A nice flight here. We're going to start off in Scotland. You have the Innocent Gun Irish Whiskey Aged Stout.
Mm.
In Poland, we have the Frozen Apple Pie.
The Szklanka.
The Szklanka featuring Bison Grass Vodka. And in Japan, we have the Northern Bloom Junmei Sake. All right, so we have the whiskey aged stout from Scotland, the apple pie vodka drink from Poland, and the sake from Japan.
That's a 6 ounce beer.
Let's do the stout, then the sake, and then. The vodka.
The apple pie vodka. All right. Well, let's see. The retail price of the stout is $3.75. The retail price of the sake from Japan is $7.50.
Seven?
Yes, seven.
Seven.
And let's see what we got here. The retail price of the apple pie, the frozen apple pie in Poland, $9.50.
Bam!
Nice. We got our first winner of the night. Congratulations, yay. Georgia. Hold on the line, and we'll be right with you. Good job tonight. All right, Tom, we got another contestant coming up here. We have Michael on the show now. He wants to play some Price is Right. Good evening, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Where are you calling us from?
Calling from Arkansas tonight.
Arkansas. All right. Well, thank you for listening tonight. We appreciate it. Have you been down to the Epcot Food and Wine Festival before?
Yes, I sure have.
Do you make it like a yearly trip for yourself?
It's been about every other year. I think maybe the last two trips were every year. But this year we're going during the Merry Christmas Parade this year.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, very good, very good. So we're going to take you around. We're going to do a take on the game called Stack the Deck. So I'm going to give you a price and then list three items you can find at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. You have to tell me what item that price goes with, and just like the last game, we're going to do three rounds. You need to get two of the three rounds correct to win. All right,
sounds good.
All right, we're going to start off with the price of $3.25. Now it's $3.25, the price of the Lamington yellow cake dipped in chocolate and shredded coconut in Australia. Is $3.25 the price of the peanut butter and white chocolate mousse from the Chew Collective? Or is $3.25 the price of the Greek yogurt vanilla cake from Greece?
I'm going to have to go with... Let's go with the yellow cake.
The yellow cake from Australia, the Lamington. Let's see. The retail price of the Lamington is $3. $3 even. $3 even on that one.
I thought Lamington was a Doc McStuffins.
the white chocolate mousse from the Chew Collective is $3.25. The Greek dessert is $3.50. So, all right, you have to get the next two right to win. The price you're shooting for here is $7.25. $7.25. Is $7.25 the price of the grilled lamb chop with pesto and potato crunchies from Australia? Is $7.25 the price of the butter chicken with cilantro and naan bread from Africa? Or is $7.25 the price of the beef bourguignon? Oh, boy. I don't know why I do this to myself.
Botanus. Botanical.
Botanus. Botanical. Anyway, the I don't even know. Cabernet Sauvignon braised short ribs with
mashed potatoes.
You didn't
fare any better with the rest of them.
Not.
The English?
It's a braised short rib.
Braised short rib with mashed potatoes in France. After all that, $3.25, which one does that go with?
I am going to go with the last one.
The last one.
It's not that fancy. I would... might not go with that one if I were you.
Do you want to change your choice based on Josh's, or do you want to go with it? Is he tricking you? Or give you the chance
here? I think
here?
He's tricking me. Let's go with it.
All right. The price of the short ribs is $6.25. $7.25 went the grilled lamb chop from Australia. All right. But thanks for playing, Michael. Appreciate the call tonight. And call again next week for try to win some more prizes. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Very good.
Do we have time for the Chew Collective?
We do right now.
All right. Let's take him to the Chew Collective booth real quick for right. Inspired by ABC's The Chew.
All right, so we're at Next Eats, which this year is home to the Chew Collective, and there's another one here. You don't have the page.
Greenhouse Guru.
Greenhouse Guru, hosted by Village Farmed.
Try that in a moment.
Yeah, so we got the, where is it here? The ricotta and zucchini ravioli with rustic tomato sauce.
Notice how nothing on the Chew menu is
Chew
recommended. Certified, recommended, yes.
Oh. So we're going to start over there.
A Chew favorite.
Do we get a small bite of the ravioli?
Ravioli bite? All right.
That's delicious.
Is it better than Italy?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. It's pretty good.
Oh, wow.
It's vegan friendly.
I can taste the vegetables.
That's what the V means, right, I assume?
Yeah.
Because then there's a vegetable, which I assume means vegetarian.
Well, I can taste the zucchini.
Well, yeah.
Great.
It's good, though.
No, that's solid, a good thing. And then that's the sausage. Kind of garlicky.
Yeah, no, it's both. It has the vegan thing and the vegetable thing.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's
yeah,
what's
very good
new.
Tomatoes and everything, yeah.
Well, let's stay with that. Let's try the dessert, which is a peanut butter and white chocolate mousse with a caramel drizzle.
It's vegetarian, right. Not vegan.
It's vegetarian friendly, not vegan.
Well, it has two icons. What does the other one mean? It has a V and then also the vegetarian.
The V is the vegetarian.
What is that?
Yeah, it doesn't actually say
other
the,
thing.
It
mean.
Doesn't have both symbols on the menu.
Oh my gosh, stop arguing about
Hold
that.
On.
Try the peanut butter thing.
Try the peanut butter thing? Is this amazing?
I am in love.
Because it's ricotta cheese.
Yeah. Right? There's peanut buttery goodness. With real nuts in there and everything, it's so good.
That's good.
That's a really good dessert. Uh-huh. Might be my favorite dessert here.
Really? I still think the flan. That's good, though.
I like that a lot. I'm favorable to peanut butter, but...
So am I. But I still think that flan is just so good.
Yeah.
All right, we've got... We have no book now.
Well, we got a grilled beef skewer.
Grilled beef skewer, which is from...
The Chew Collective.
That's the Chew Collective
yeah.
booth. That's
that
new.
Kid friendly.
Oh, kid friendly.
Kid. Oh.
The V or the.
No, the little eggplant.
The little eggplant means kid friendly. I'm sorry. I wouldn't like, think that meant.
Or ratatouille kid. Friendly.
There you go.
Because I was like, it's got ricotta cheese in it and it's topped so with Parmesan. It can't be vegan.
Yeah, right? It seems a little weird.
All right, let's.
I never know what those vegans. Grilled beef. It says romaine, apricots, and feta cheese.
It's good. Cooked well. It's not bad.
Let's hold that. Alright, the beef's okay. I like the accompaniments with it. So everything together is really fresh and yeah. really good.
No, it's good.
That's really good.
Beef itself is a little chewy.
I like that.
So overall, we have the stuff from, what is that again? It's Greenhouse Guru. We liked...
No, the Chew Collective.
Well, no, I know that was, but I was going
No, all that was Chew Collective.
Again. Not all
We haven't
of
had
that.
Anything from the like, Greenhouse Guru yet.
Oh, am I wrong?
Yeah.
It's like the same idea.
Oh, this is Chew Collective. I'm wrong. So never mind. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
As usual. So,
Everything tastes a little more fresh here. A little,
so
little
we had good. Everything.
The ingredients.
So we liked the ricotta and zucchini
yep,
ravioli. We liked the beef skewer. And you thought that was your favorite thing you've had today? That peanut butter and
white chocolate mousse with caramel and peanut butter?
It was solid. I still like the flan better.
No, all those flavors, but those are like three of my favorite flavors,
right.
So it's
Fair
really
enough.
Good.
There you have it. We are coming up on a commercial break, going into hour two. Still lots of booths to talk about. We'll see how much
Down
we can
to 30.
Fit into this show. But as soon as we get back, we're going to preview next week's show. Tom and Nick are angry about things, and we're going to continue our coverage of the 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival when WDW News Tonight continues. We'll be back in just a few moments.
we'll go with that. That sounds better.
Welcome to WDW News Tonight, where Nick, as usual, has no idea what he's doing.
Oh,
over
come
there.
On.
It's not the music.
Yeah. I don't know how they got out of the place.
Tonight!
No.
Coming up not tonight, but next week. Next week is going to be our 45th anniversary celebration of Walt Disney World. We're playing a special edition of WDWNT, the math game, related to the 45th anniversary. We're going to have all sorts of special music clips and stuff next week. And a special little added surprise. I know it's not supposed to happen on this show, but sort of a preview of things to come. The very first edition of the 45 greatest things ever at Walt Disney World, moments 45 or items 45 through 41 are going to take place next week on this show. I know it's a podcast segment and a YouTube thing, but for 1 week only, we're going to get the ball rolling on that next week as part of our 45th anniversary celebration here on WDW News Tonight.
I'm glad we're doing it here for at least that first segment for this audience because, you know, we did a lot of the narrowing down.
A lot of the voting was here.
Yeah.
So we'll get the ball rolling here on WDW News Tonight. Nick, who brings us WDW News Tonight?
Well, a very important sponsor, Tom. By the name of
Magical Travel.
Magical Travel, of course. Oh boy, what could we not do without Magical Travel?
Yep.
They're an authorized Disney vacation planner. They're always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can enjoy that 4-night, 4-day stay in a standard room.
What are you doing tonight? What are you doing?
It's like the All-Star Resort with one park per day. Magic your way, based.
I can't deal with you. Can you finish the ad? Do you want me to do it? Right now, you can enjoy a 4-day, 4-night stay in a standard room at a select All-Star Resort with one.
I'll tell you.
All right.
Book through
October. They don't pay a lot for this, do they? Is this free?
They shouldn't.
Book through October 8th, 2016 for stays most night. It's November. Just do it.
Come on! Right now, you can enjoy a 4-day, 4-night stay in a standard room at a select all-star resort with one park per day Magic Your Way base tickets for just $1,980. Book through October 8th, 2016 for stays most nights, November 6th through December 21st, 2016. The number of rooms available for this offer is limited, so make sure to act fast. For more information on this offer, this special offer, and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. It's time for radio's most exciting few minutes of Nick being an idiot. It's WWNT, The Price is Right. Whoever's next, come on down, because I'm sure Nick's going to botch your name anyway.
Whitney, please save me here. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Doing good. Yeah, well, I was doing good, so I totally botched that. Sorry about that, Magical Travel. I do love you. I was just in the wrong part of the script. I apologize. But, you know, Whitney stopped by to play some Disney Price is Right, WWNT, The Price is Right. And Whitney, where are you calling in from?
Texas.
Oh, Texas, all right. Now, do you make the trip over to do Food and Wine ever?
Yes, we went last year. Last year, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time. A lot of people plan their vacations around it. Pretty cool. So hopefully you got familiar maybe with some of the prices there. We're going to play a quick game of Price is Right with you here. We're going to play a version of the Grand Game. I'm going to give you a price. I'm going to list four items that you can find at this year's Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. You need to pick the three items that are below that price, all right? So these are all going to be drinks that you can find at the Food and Wine Fest this year. And the price is $10.
$10.
So three of these things are below $10. One is more expensive than $10. You have to tell me which one that is. So you got the frozen orange spiked tea featuring Florida cane vodka over at Hops and Barley. In Hawaii, you have the Mai Tai featuring Sammy's Beach Bar Rum. In China, you have the Richie Lacy with cognac and Smirnoff vodka.
Even close to the name, but
Ritzy Lychee. How do you pronounce that one for me? Go
Josh?
For it.
Josh,
Happy Lychee.
No, it's Ritzy.
Happy Ritzy.
There's no happy. Are you saying happy?
I don't know.
It's thank you. It's
all right, idiots.
Ritzy Lychee. All right. Anyway, it's cognac and Smirnoff vodka there in China.
Did you say cognac when we were there? It's in the audio, Cognac.
In South Korea, you have the soju fruit slushy featuring Shemizol soju. Jeez. All right, so anyway, which one do you think is more expensive than $10?
China.
The one in China, nice choice. The retail price is $10.50.
Sounds fancy. It is fancy.
That's all there is to it. The harder it is for Nick to pronounce it, the more
expensive it is. So there you go. It's as easy as that. And Whitney's going home with either a BB-8 or a Chewie. I'll give her a choice, and so I'll talk to her in just a moment. Now we're going to continue. We're going to continue our review of the Food and Wine Fest in a little bit.
We're angry about
that. No, I know. In a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
In a little bit. But right now, Tom, get your anger cap on.
Yeah.
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like James.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
So, for this edition, we don't usually do this, but we're actually...
Versus!
Versus, taking opposing viewpoints here. Yeah. Tom, what are you mad at?
You know what I'm mad about? It's not this. This isn't what I'm mad about. I'm mad at the people who are mad about this.
Oh, God.
So, in case you don't know, this passport book used to have a little space where people could get it stamped after they visited a booth. That's gone. And this year, instead, there are... stickers you can self-adhere.
Self-adhere!
Yeah, because you know what? Because you're eating up my line. We're all waiting longer for food because some of you idiots decided, hey, I'm not actually eating at this booth, but gosh darn it, I need my stamp. Because I'm a grown person who just needs a stamp in a book that no one's going to open or look at. Ever again the rest of my life.
Tom,
can you not go to the booth, rip off a sticker and put it there if it's really that important to you to remember what booths you went to? Or in some cases it's not because you people
that.
Just needed the satisfaction of having a fully stamped book, which does nothing for anyone.
That's exactly
mind
what it
you.
Is. You go around
Please
and you
explain
always
them.
You go around and you always are so happy collecting your free little buttons and things like that.
You get to actually take home a button you can wear. There is more of a purpose to a button than a stamp in a tiny free, cheaply made paper
it's
book.
It's not cheaply made, it's a nice made book, first of all.
It's not nicely made, it's a tiny paper book.
The stamps personalize the experience, okay? You get to interact
with
the cast member and you get a nice little stamp.
The cast member is trying to actually serve the people who are purchasing items.
This doesn't take away time. The kids scanning their stupid little fingers at the front entrance take up more time than a cast member.
Well, a valid park entry is certainly more important than your stupid stamp that says you at least went to the front of the kiosk, not that you actually ate or drank
this
there.
This takes away the personalization of the experience. And now, if the cast members affixed the sticker, I'd say, okay, maybe a little bit.
That would
that's
be
even, a little
even
better.
Dumber.
You can go to the KidCot station. Want some personalization? Go color your Duffy bear.
I like the idea of getting the stamps. It's a more real experience where you're stamping a passport. It's
wasting
just a nicer touch. I've never had to wait behind somebody that was getting a stamp.
That's because I was waiting behind you to get your flippin' stamp. That's why you didn't wait.
It's not a bad thing, and the cast members are barely bothered by it.
It's stupid.
Plus, those stickers are more expensive, I bet. It's a nice sticker book. If it's a nice book, it's better with
the stickers. It was definitely a logistics move.
Did you affix your stickers?
No, because I don't care.
You do.
I know what I
book up.
It's not about knowing.
The check marks in the book are great. That makes sense to me. You want to check off what you had so you know what you've had.
It's not
about
knowing what you
ate. You don't
need
a sticker or a stamp.
What are you proving?
Be an adult. If you really need a stamp, go buy the stupid passport thing they sell for kids and get that stamp.
Those are stickers.
Oh,
well,
is
I guess
it?
They stamp them, too, but they
no,
put
they
stickers
stamp
in
them.
The little passport.
Well, they stamp them, too. This is for adults at a food and wine festival. This is simply a guy. This is not for you to be a two-year-old and eat up a line and get a stamp that doesn't mean anything that you're never going to show to anybody.
Don't give us stupid stickers. If it's an adult book, don't give us stickers.
They had to do the stickers because then you'd all be crying even worse. They gotta wean you suckers off of this.
Oh, so next year we get nothing.
Next year you do get nothing. That's right. Welcome to Disney World. Welcome to Disney World. Now get out of my way.
Somebody has caught on.
I'm informing Disney right now that they should be worried. Boy. Anyway.
Right, sorry, Whitney. I'll be with you in a moment to get your address, send out your prize. But first.
We need at least one listener for this.
First.
Figure along, Nick.
The wonderful world of psychotic comments brought to you, of course, by WIGS, the WWNT Inner Globe Society on Patreon. Nick, take it away.
All right. Well, we have some comments, of course, on the post WDW considering annual pass blackout dates after new attractions open. Grumpy old man wrote in as kind of a response to somebody else. But she clearly knows how the people were complaining about capacity in the parks, things like that. She clearly knows how to use her inches at the park for more important things like babies, like churros and turkey legs. It'd be crazy and selfish for a family that's been saving for 3 years to take a trip to Disney, the bargain capital of the world, to not immediately cancel their trip the moment they find out they're expecting. Use those inches wisely. You never know when they can suddenly be taken up by babies.
Why is that under that?
Because that's what that post actually de-evolved into, people arguing about space in the parks and
degraded,
things like that.
Yeah.
Jim wrote in that there should have been a fourth choice in the survey. If you do this, I will not renew my pass and will start vacationing elsewhere.
Yeah, right.
There it is! There it is! I told you! Yep. There's always that one
that guy! Jim is that guy.
Not you, Wazowski!
No!
That guy!
Jim, no! Come back, please. What will we do without you?
Under Stitch's Great Escape, top right seasonally, permanent closure imminent post, Colton wrote in, R.I.P. Stitch's Great Escape, you'll be missed and your legacy will not be forgotten. You'll force us all to find something new to hate at Magic Kingdom and we appreciate that sacrifice. Stitch for the win wrote in, Lilo and Stitch is the only reason I come to Disney, so either keep the ride now or stop making a new one or I will stop coming.
That guy!
That guy. the Hollywood Tower of Terror sign already removed from Tower of Terror post. Disney Facts wrote in. He's my new favorite poster, by the way. He was good, yeah. Disney Facts wrote in, no! Walt must be rolling over in his grave. This was his favorite ride. It's like they don't care about all of us devoted fans. They will continue to go regardless of what changes.
Oh, boy.
Disney Facts also sorry, he's pretty funny. I'll have to put together a compilation of his greatest hits and give it to you next week. Over at the possible Universe of Energy closing date for Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot post, what would Walt do, wrote in. Yes, it is still the 1980s, and Disney needs to keep Epcot Center in the 1980s, like Universal needs to keep its parks in the 90s. Get rid of Harry Potter and bring back Jaws and Kong Frontations and Nickelodeon Studios.
I agree with that. I know he's being a jerk.
Then this one... this one is by Tom. I don't think it's by you, Tom.
Probably not.
But, yeah. He wrote in, now it's time for the middle-aged Walt Disney World fans to lament about changes in the parks as if they were the only ones who go. And Warren's wrote in, I'm one of those middle-aged folks you're referring to, and I personally welcome the change. Been going a long time, and Epcot is boring now. To where Rick replied, I too am a middle-aged grumbler, but I want to put it in Hollywood Studios, though I do hate millennials more than I hate Guardians. A lot of people saying this is for millennials.
Fair enough.
Under this post as well, a little chain of posts here, Ed wrote in, what part of experimental prototype community of tomorrow includes roller coasters? To which Tom replied, what part of the parks are not museums do you not understand? And Chris replied, what part of this is not the 1980s anymore, don't you understand? So we've got into a little argument there about the state of Epcot.
You know Epcot had the Millennium Celebration?
Mm.
I think it's about time they have the Millennial Celebration. They should just Mumford and Sons concerts. And, you know,
the only thing you know about millennials is the one band.
Yeah, that's true.
Mumford and Sons. You posted some
some pictures, some new pictures of Avatar construction. Latest progress. Jarrett wrote in, better be careful unless I'm mistaken. I believe this pic is in violation of the any pictures taken at Animal Kingdom. Better not be facing a westerly direction. And then on the half of Walt Disney World vacationers canceling trips due to Zika post, which was a poll that was put out, Keith wrote in, was this survey conducted among hypochondriacs? Half? That seems high.
And they're reading Bloomberg, probably.
And there was a lot of weird comments in this post. And Flakedon wrote in, I'm just here for the comments. We all
are. As are we with this
we
segment.
We all are, Flakedon.
Every week.
All right. So we're going to be back. We have Who Rates Tom later on in the show. But we're going to be back with more of our Epcot Food and Wine Festival review after this very short break. And I will see you on the other side. You're listening to WDW News Tonight.
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight, where we've been completely caught off guard by how short that commercial break is, or was. All right. Well, we have more audio to play, but because of time constraints tonight, we're not going to do that. If you tune into the next, which should be on a day or two, the next edition of the WDW News Today podcast, we'll have all the audio from that we recorded live at the festival, as well as the quick recap that we're probably going to do right here, right now. So you'll have a full comprehensive guide to the festival and audio if you so wish to have it. So very quickly, I want to go through these in the time we have left, and Josh will help us out, of course. Greenhouse Guru is the other new booth in Next Eats. It's next door to what we just talked about, which is Chew Collective, which has the tomato, the heirloom tomato salad with goat cheese, and that's old, right? That was at a different booth last year. It
existed. The ravioli or just the tomatoes?
Just the tomato salad.
That's new.
That is new. Do we have that?
Yeah.
Do we like it? I don't remember.
I don't think it was anything special.
Oh, okay. The duck was okay. The other thing, they have a duck confit, which was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid. The gazpacho I love.
Love.
They have a chilled tomato gazpacho with lump crab meat, and that's, of course, in my top 7 post and video that went up today. That was really good. There's also a bag of prepackaged tomatoes, which if you buy, you're an idiot. Don't buy the bag of prepackaged tomatoes, because you can just get those.
The fourth item on the menu.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. And Josh, please stop me if there's any drinks of real note in any of these booths. The Chocolate Studio is probably, and I know it's just desserts, I think overall the strongest booth. Like, literally, I thought all 3 items were spectacular. And I don't know if there's another booth where I thought every single item was really great. But the liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle is back. We've talked enough about that at this point. There's a Ghirardelli chocolate raspberry tort, which I thought was phenomenal. And then the red wine chocolate truffle, which we all had bets was going to be some prepackaged thing, wasn't. And even though it was small and was a truffle, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Josh?
Have some nice wines there, too. A big selection.
Yeah. And they all paired well with the desserts, no? But I think the favorite wine of at least everyone in the group was at Wine and Dine Studio. We ordered that. It's an artist palette that comes with, what is it, 3 wines and then a selection of cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be a big hit with everybody in the group. We had a fairly large group, so that may be one of the larger dishes that's worth your time. What's the price on that?
$11.
And it's a lot for $11. Like, it's 3 nice-sized wines and then a fair amount of cheese there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the cheese comes with 3 different accompaniments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. I would definitely get it. And it's cute as heck on that.
It's definitely a great photo op. I know a lot of people with social media now, people like to take photos of stuff they do on vacation. So that might be one of the ones you definitely want. If you want to show off to people at home.
Yeah, if you like wine, you like cheese, that's a definite. And Disney can't screw that up. They might overcook your beef or undercook something or give you a lousy portion. But that you're going to get $11 worth on that no matter what.
Yeah. Also, Wine and Dine Studio, one of my favorites, the seared scallop, I thought was real great.
They do a nice job with the scallops. No matter where they are, they move those things around.
Yeah.
I don't sear myself, so it's a nice opportunity to try some seafood.
You never sear your scallops?
I don't sear, period.
Oh. You're missing out.
I know. Well, you come over. Bring over some cheeseburger flatbread.
I'll come over. We'll sear some stuff.
Cheeseburger flatbread.
Sear some stuff. Play some baseball video games.
Done.
All right, tonight.
Anyway. The pork tenderloin was fine. I didn't think it was anything fantastic. It was solid.
It's small.
It's a little small. Yeah, I think there's better places to spend your money at Food & Wine than that pork tenderloin. But the scallop and that, if you like wine and cheese, that tray is real fantastic.
That and the truffle.
Well, yeah, because next door is Chocolate Studio, I think. And again, I liked all three of those. Even though I'm not the biggest raspberry fan, I thought that tort was real good.
Well, the nice thing about that area is that it's right behind Interventions West character spot. So if you're going there on a Saturday or a Friday night and you don't want to deal with World Showcase crowds, you can just head right up there and not have to deal with anything and get 4, 5, 6 of the best items you're going to find in all of World Showcase.
And I said that in the top 7 thing I did today, a majority of the items were, in fact, within that 4-booth pocket right there in Future World, which is interesting that they're all just right there. And a lot of great stuff right there.
For sure.
Like you said, the lines there later in the evening seem to be nice and short.
Not bad. They're well-staffed.
Yeah.
Chew does a nice job.
Absolutely. Islands of the Caribbean, for me, was the biggest letdown. I was really looking forward to the Jamaican beef patty. They're terrible, I thought.
Oh, really? Because I missed that the first day.
Yeah, they're puck-shaped, which Jamaican beef patties usually aren't. I don't know. I thought they're pretty subpar.
I feel like they must have called an audible on that because it was just a singular patty on the menu and they gave you two.
Two small, like, puck things, which isn't usually what Jamaican beef patties are.
But somebody else I got a comment that compared them to the frozen patties that they're used to buying from the grocery store. I have never been to Jamaica, so I don't know if
they sell Jamaican beef patties here, but they typically come, they almost look like an empanada.
Yeah, in the freezer aisle.
Yeah, I've never seen, like, mini ones. I don't, like, it's not, like, a hot commodity where they've come out with minis like Eggos. I mean, it's weird. I don't know.
It's iffy.
The other stuff there was pretty forgettable, I thought,
too.
I thought the pork and the grouper and even the puff pastry were all really forgettable.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a must stop.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to try something from every booth,
I'd probably settle on
the grouper.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had to. But if you don't, probably.
And the mojito there is kind of a frozen, kind of fake mint kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it's refreshing in the heat, but don't expect, like, a muddled drink, because that's not what they're serving.
Yeah.
So I would probably skip it unless you're a one-of-everything kind of blogger, in which case you're late.
Refreshment port doesn't really have anything out of the ordinary. The pineapple Dole Whip is there again, the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. And there's the Cronut, which is there anyway all the time. I don't know why it's even on here. They do those fried chicken chunks, and it's more for, like, the picky eater in the group who doesn't really want to eat anything, you know, challenging.
Biting my tongue here. I don't know, food block.
Food block joke.
No.
I lerve those, Josh. Those are my favorite. I lerve those. You got quite the death glare.
I got a bit of a side eye.
Oh, we're the worst people. Greece. I've never, I know it's been there forever, the Spanakopita, but I've never ordered it. We got it. I was really surprised how good it was.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, that's going to be in my favorite returning items. I really love those a lot. I don't know why we always skip this booth, but probably because the other things weren't that great. The yogurt cake was fine. It was solid. The nachos weren't that bad. I know you're saying nachos. They've loaded Greek quote-unquote nachos, which are pita chips, meatless sausage crumbles, and vegan tzatziki, Nick. Tzatziki.
Yeah, tzatziki. Everybody liked those better than I did.
They were fine. Like, it's not something I would order again.
But, like, no, you loved them. You listened back to them.
Loved.
All right.
They were fine.
I would definitely check the portion of what they're passing out, but it was a big portion.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of pita chips. And if you're vegan, you don't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
So that's a definite a definite buy, unlike the vegan beef in Korea, which is no.
We'll get there. So Greece, that Spanakopita, man, so good. Yeah. Desserts and champagne this year did the hard soda float, so they have a hard root beer, a cherry cola, and a orange cream. I liked all three of these. I mean, for $6, they weren't a bad size. I thought it was about the right size you want. They weren't tiny, but they're probably big enough for a day where you're going to be eating a lot of food. You probably don't need a a couple of huge, huge desserts.
Well, this is my chance to botch a pronunciation. Is it Sprecter soda that they're using?
Yeah, I don't... It's S-P-R-E-C-H-E-R.
And this is the first time this has showed up on property, and it's way more natural tasting than the Not Your Father's Root Beer. Yeah,
which they use at Peaches and Cream.
The orange soda that they're using, which is kind of medicinal. These were fantastic, and it's a nice portion.
Yeah, I went and got these again the other night. I love them.
We don't have enough time to argue if a ice cream float is a dessert, but...
Yeah, because your argument is there's no actual desserts at desserts and champagnes, but I believe... While it can also qualify as a beverage, a ice cream float is most definitely also a dessert.
Well, it's not a champagne, so.
Absolutely true. Next item. I like the trio they used to have. It was like $3.50, $4 for three little things.
Yeah, no, that's been a solid kiosk. I mean, all the time it's existed at Food and Wine. I don't think this is a bad change, but it's interesting.
And they can pre-make those and put them on a tray.
And for kids or people who don't like alcohol, they have soda floats, which are Coke, grape, and strawberry Fanta and Barks root beer. They have four of those, actually. We should probably try those. Those are a little different. We probably should go back and get those.
But the champagne there is surprise. It's expensive. Like, I think the least expensive is $12, but markup wise, it's not a bad
value.
What
is the other one? 32 for the
Dom P.
The Don 32. Yeah.
But that's a $200 bottle.
Yeah. So. It's available to try. You say you tried some Don Perignon in your life, right? Patagonia has the beef empanada, the grilled beef skewer, and the roasted salmon. I like the beef skewer and the salmon just fine. I think the empanada is vastly overrated.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's an easy dish just to get and eat. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. It's a stupid thing to say, but it's a safe bet.
Yeah, understandable. For Hawaii, this is my favorite overall booth, and I know there's nothing new here, but the spicy tuna poke.
Poke.
Thank you, Tom Bricker. Was phenomenal. Loved it. And, of course, the Kahlua pork slider is as great as it's ever been. And they have Kona Brewing Company Golden Ale, which I know is a big favorite.
The Big Wave's pretty good.
Yeah. So I love this booth.
Yeah. I would stop there. Everybody stops there. They have two sides.
Do they?
Pretty sure
they
do.
You're right. Yeah.
One tip is if a place has two sides and one side is long, check the other side, probably in the direction you're not coming from.
Yeah. There you go.
Save some time.
Farm Fresh, new this year, had a chicken and dumplings dish, which I thought tasted lower level than Cracker Barrel.
That's rough.
I know. I don't know. I didn't think it was that great. The mac and cheese is still good, and the beet salad was surprisingly good.
Yeah, this creamy goat cheese, a nice kind of acidic vinaigrette dressing, a lot of beet, a lot of spinach.
No.
I'm not a big fan of the macaroni and cheese. You'd think, how can you screw
like
it up? But it's kind of mushy.
I know you don't. I think it's good. Nick, what do you think of the mac and cheese? You like it?
Oh, I love the mac and cheese. It's one of my favorites. And like you said, the beet salad was really good. And I think the chicken and dumplings were a little better than you give them credit for, though they're passable.
I defer on the macaroni. A lot of people like that. Yeah. Don't listen to me on the macaroni.
All right. New Zealand, the steamed mussels, the lamb meatball, and the seared venison. The venison was not as good as it's been in years past. I was kind of disappointed. I mean, that just might be a case-by-case basis. The lamb meatball's fine. I really like the mussels a lot. I know a lot of people don't like mussels, but I enjoyed
them. Well, I'm going to say that the venison with the dumplings here is better than the chicken and dumplings. So, I mean, if you don't mind trying venison, get that dish.
Venison is deer, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And then
I'm just making sure people...
Yeah, and then the lamb meatball, I always like that one. I love it because it has that flaky pastry crust that's really good with the lamb meatball.
It's a top five for me. A big portion
really?
Of spicy meat. Yeah, and it's puff pastry, a nice sauce on top.
It is. It's a nice size for the 525, nice
All right.
Very consistent, too.
All right. Australia has a grilled sweet and spicy bushberry shrimp dish, a grilled lamb chop, and the Lamington. Lamington's one of my favorite desserts, probably third or fourth favorite dessert at the
of all time.
Currently available. The lamb chop's fine, and the shrimp are okay. Would you disagree?
I thought the cake was small. Was it that good?
It was small this year. Usually it's bigger. I don't know. We'll see.
That good?
It's solid. I like it. Okay. Sometimes I'm in the mood for coconut. I can't get my coconut candy in Brazil anymore.
Cocada.
So, Mexico has a bunch of garbage. There's the taco with shrimp. There's a enchilada with beef. And then the flan. The flan, phenomenal.
Really good.
One of my absolute favorites. Favorite dessert this year for sure at the festival.
But they changed it this year.
Well, yeah, because it was, what was it? It was
caramel.
Caramel a couple years ago, because last year they had the corn thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tend to change the dessert every year in Mexico, typically. The enchilada and the taco are absolutely skippable. Don't bother.
A lot of people like that enchilada.
Really?
A lot of people.
A lot of
like
people are
enchilada.
Very incorrect.
The margaritas.
Did you like
there,
it?
Yeah, I did.
You like the margaritas here?
The margaritas aren't bad. They're $9. They have a jalapeno.
And you don't really have another choice for margaritas anymore.
No,
I like the jalapeno one a lot now that I'm recalling us ordering that.
Yeah, the margarita is really good.
Pineapple was sweet. If you want a sweeter drink, definitely get the pineapple. If you have to get a beer, they're mixing it with a chocolate liqueur. It's kind of interesting. A Bohemia beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd skip the sangria. But I like that enchilada and the flan. Not so much the shrimp taco.
Okay.
It's too small.
China. Beijing roasted duck in the steamed bun. I still think that's a real good dish. I got that again the other night. I still like that a lot. The Sichuan spicy chicken is really good, but you can get it at the counter service, and you can get a much bigger serving probably for a more adequate price. I would suggest if you really want to try that, just go have lunch at Lotus Blossom some other time.
We've had a couple good lunches there.
We did. I know Lotus Blossom gets a bad rap, but we had a pair of really good lunches there, four different entrees that were all real solid. Black pepper shrimp I thought was overrated. I know people like it. I don't think the value's there, but that's me. And the pot stickers, I mean, they're fine.
Two frozen pot stickers for $4. They sell a million of those things.
What about the drinks here? I know China's a big one for drinks.
The thing about China is that they're very happy with their pours, usually. I used to go load up there. Can't pronounce the Ritzy Lychee drink, obviously, but it's cognac. It's really good. There's a strawberry drink there that's $7, and it's not very strong, but it's really refreshing and much better than a soda or something for $4. You might want to get it.
Yeah.
So I get all, and they have a vodka orange drink that's good too.
South Korea has a Korean style barbecue beef, which is good. Roasted pork lettuce wrap, which I think is enjoyable. And then probably the absolute worst dish in the history of the Food and Wine Festival, which is the vegan Korean barbecue, which I think everyone was in agreement tasted like dog food.
It was inedible.
Yeah.
And I'm not anti-vegan at all. It was just mushy, kind of like it was reconstituted.
Yeah. The refreshment cool post, the spicy hot dog with kimchi is back. I love this. It's a real good portion. It's a full hot dog. One of my favorites, for sure.
Yeah, $6.50. There's rarely a line. Cut it in half if you want to share.
Yeah.
The frozen elephant there is good, too.
Yeah. Africa returning is the beef tenderloin and the buttered chicken. I think skip this. Just go to, you know, one of the African restaurants at Disney World and you'll be fine. Go to Sanaa, go to Boma, go somewhere like that if you want that kind of food. Don't go here. Brewers Collection down to 3 beers, no flights. Josh?
I don't want to talk about it.
You want to talk about it? All right. Nothing memorable here?
No.
Okay.
You could try it.
For Germany, the Schinkennudeln. I love this dish. I had never had this. It's pasta with ham and cheese, essentially. Really delicious, huge portion, probably the biggest portion at the festival, just about.
It's $3.75, is it?
Just a great comfort food.
Yeah. I would get that every time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. The bratwurst is forgettable in the hard roll. It's not the pretzel anymore. And the apple strudel was pretty meh.
You can get one of the beers there, too, right? Which one is it? In Germany? Which beer one? Do they have? Are you looking at it?
Yeah, I am. Which one's the beer? The Pilsner?
Yeah.
The Rodenberger Zwickel?
Yeah, if you stop for the noodle thing, I would get the beer. I wouldn't wait in the Brewmaster's Collection line for a $4 6-ounce beer.
Yeah.
With the mac and cheese.
Poland is home to my favorite drink at the festival, I think. They also have the kielbasa and potato pierogi, which is fine. The golabki is a pork-stuffed cabbage. I didn't think that was terrible.
Way better than I was expecting.
Yeah, it looks pretty unappetizing, but it was fine.
It sounds unappetizing.
Best drink at the festival, this frozen skarlatka.
Yeah.
It's basically a liquid apple pie. And it's unbelievable. You have to try this if you haven't. And kudos to the person who recommended it. She was definitely right. And she'd been talking up to me for weeks. It lived up to the expectations. Italy is inedible. Don't go here. It's awful. I'm not even going to talk about it. Don't get any of the three items. There's two new
wine
items.
Wine is bad.
They're garbage.
Ugh. Tutto gusto.
They're not even
TV
trying.
TV dinner is what people
It is. They're
really
not even trying.
Equated them to.
Not even trying. Hops and barley in America. The New England lobster roll got slightly altered. It was fine. It was good enough. Not my favorite thing.
Snack credit, but it's $7.75. That's kind of rough.
Yeah. Smoked beef brisket, favorite dish, bar none, at all of Food and Wine this year. It's served over garlic toast, really good portion, cooked perfectly, wonderful dish.
It might be hit or miss. Did you get it a second time by any chance?
I did. It was great again.
It's still good. Okay.
Did you have a second bad one?
No, I haven't got it a second time yet. But sometimes brisket can be bad. So.
There was onion. We didn't have onion on it the first time. It was on it the second time. It really added.
Nice.
It added nicely to it. It was good.
Cool.
The carrot cake's still phenomenal. You like any drinks here, Josh?
The beers are all good.
They're all good?
I wish they had a flight.
They don't, though. They just
have
six
beers. They have a dogfish head. They have Anchor Liberty Ale. What's the
Rebel
third?
Grapefruit, the Sam Adams?
That's if you only get two drinks per ID, so I'd skip that one if you got to skip one.
But yeah.
The other two are great.
Block and Hans is the beers, right?
They have hops. The festival wines, which are
undrinkable. Garbage. We tried them both at the Chase Lounge. They're both awful, awful. Don't get any of the festival wines. Japan, the sushi roll's solid. The garlic shrimp's pretty bad. The spicy edamame was good once we figured out how to eat it. We liked it.
That was bad.
It's a little messy, but really shareable.
The chili powder?
Oh, look, really quick good. Story about that. Because Tom and I both threw the whole pea pods in our mouth.
Admit this, guys.
And
not everything has to be.
No, and I
Tom
was like,
Ricker has traveled the world and still did it. So I feel okay about this.
I said, Tom, this is wrong. This feels wrong. This is not chewable.
We're not
this
dead
not,
yet. I ate one.
Not edible. Like, it's horrible. You're like, well, I swallowed it. Well, you swallow anything. And I was like, I'm spitting this out. I'm spitting this out. And then we were shown how to eat them. You just like kind of run them across your teeth and take out the peas. And it was really good after that. But those are I don't know how you solved it. It was ridiculous.
The head, the tail, the whole damn thing. Anyway. that's Japan. Any good drinks in Japan, Josh?
No.
No.
Well, why is that blue sake drink blue? They have a pineapple sake. Yeah.
It tastes like scope.
It's bluer than the ocean is.
Morocco has the kefta pocket, which is, I think, solid. I've liked that before. The spicy hummus fries are real good.
Really good.
Spice Road Table. Yeah.
Love those a lot.
Kudos to Spice Road Table. Not the worst food in the world. Just can't get people in there. Baklava was solid.
I think it was a nice
that's where I had those. So they're at Spice Road Table, huh?
The hummus fries.
The hummus
fries.
That's where I had them before. No,
we should go back to Spice Road.
I like Spice Road Table a lot. That's where I had them.
It'll be like that episode of Seinfeld when he goes to the Pakistani restaurant just to support them. There's no one else in there. But he's like, this is good for the community. That's how we're going to be. Belgium has, they took the beef off of the waffle, and it sucks. No. And the other two waffles are fine if you really want a waffle.
That was in my top five, at the, or should I say seven? That was my top seven at the festival.
Yeah.
And now it's gone. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Brazil, they got rid of the coconut candy so they can go die. but they still have the layered meat pie, which is good. I like that a lot. The pork belly. We didn't get a good piece this time, but I mean, it's been so good in the past, I find it hard to believe it's going to be bad every time. And the cheese bread is still there. I still like the cheese bread. I don't care if it's out of a freezer, Josh. Shut up. Cheese bread. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
No, it's fine.
It's fine? All right. It's fine.
It's frozen.
Let it go,
Josh.
Get
a bag. Go to Publix. Buy a bag of it. It's gluten free.
Anyway. France still has the, new this year was the onion soup, which was bad. It just wasn't anything of value.
90 degrees outside, yeah. It's not.
But it wasn't good. I mean, I would have forgave that if it was good. The escargot croissant is back, which I know I talked about a ton last year. It's phenomenal. The unpronounceable beef dish, the short ribs are okay. And the creme brulee is real good, if you like creme brulee. It's fair. Any of the did you like the push pop, Josh? It's too much of a hassle.
The ice pop isn't very frozen when they serve it to you, and it's not served in a vessel that makes it easy to eat. So it's going to melt really fast, and because it's supposed to be a popsicle, the flavor is really condensed. It's really intense, and you have 2 minutes to eat that thing. You can't share it, but the frozen cocktail there is a, what is it, passion fruit? No.
The Le Passion Martini Slush?
Yeah, that's
which is
popular.
Vodka, Grey Goose, cranberry, and passion fruit juice.
I would get that.
Yeah.
The sparkling wine with the Saint Germain was kind of weird.
Yeah. Ireland. I want to hate Ireland as an Irish person who hates Irish food. But it's kind of hard to, the new drink that pumpkin chai tea frozen cocktail with caramel vodka was phenomenal. I love that. I want to get that again. Beyond that, the fisherman's pie is fine. The cheese selection when I've had it was fine. And I really, really like that warm chocolate pudding.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hate the Ireland booth, but I can't. Maybe it's all the hatred I have for, what's there during Flower and Garden, which is the Cider House. Is that not that booth?
I don't know.
That's that one. Scotland's the other one. Ireland's Cider House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
Scotland has gone downhill real fast. Like that when that started, that booth, I loved it.
Yeah.
But the Tipsy Laird, it was not good this time, which is the dessert. It's a soaked lemon cake with lemon cream and toasted oats. The lamb stew was, and the potato pancake was bad.
Lamb stew is a hearty dish.
Yeah.
But it's the November dish.
Yeah. One last booth, which is one we usually skim over because everything comes back. It's the same every single year. That being said, the cheddar cheese soup, they added a pretzel roll with it. I think they finally found a value.
It's
like, I think it's because you get a full pretzel roll to dip.
You don't need the damn pretzel roll. It's empty. It's empty calories and takes up crap in my stomach that could be used for other things.
Stop it.
It does. I just want some of the soup.
Yeah.
I'll move on.
And I hate to say this, the mushroom beef filet mignon, I really like this year. I know it's expensive. But I've had it twice this year now, and it was cooked perfectly both times. I loved it. If you don't want to go sit down and have a steak, I think this was a nice option. I like I usually hate the Canada booth because you get that thimble of soup, and the steak is usually not cooked as well as it is inside. And I think they kind of proved me wrong this year. They did a good job.
Well, it's interesting how many items they removed. And then how much better they're executing the dishes they still have. Like Canada used to have to deal with a chicken sausage. They don't have to anymore. So I think they can pay a little more attention to just having to cook one item well.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's our quick review of the 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, which, as usual, went way over time. Nick, do we still have any pricing games left?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to call in the last 10 minutes, they could call in 407-774-8255, 407-774-8255. We still got a couple Chewy mugs left. Whitney was extremely happy to get the BB-8 mug. She said she's been wanting that ever since it came out. So she's got that, and our first winner, Georgia, got one of the Chewy mugs, but we still have a couple of those left. I can, right here.
There you go. We only have a few minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have a discussion this week. There's not near
not happening.
Time.
So you want to find out who hates Tom?
We're going to push it off to next week. Before we do that, Nick, I want to remind everyone that WDW News Tonight is brought to you by WDWNT The App, the official mobile application of WDW News Today. The app brings you all the latest Disney Parks news, WDWNT.com podcasts, including this show, WDW News Tonight, streamed right to your mobile device. You get park hours, videos, as well as the ability to listen and chat live on the go with this very show and many others. You can download the app today for iOS, Android, and Amazon devices by searching for WDWNT or visit WDWNT.com for more information. WDWNT, the app, bringing the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news anywhere you want it.
I messed up one sponsor read, and now you take it away from me from the night?
That's right.
Next week, I'll come back strong next week.
Who hates Tom now?
All right. Well, just a couple people here. We're going over the why. People are still harping on this article, probably because there's been new Tower of Terror news or whatever. So people have been finding this article that you wrote a long time ago. It was an opinion piece that you wrote, why Tower of Terror closing at California Adventure really doesn't matter. Well, John wrote in, this article was very poorly written, and the author, Tom Corliss, should have reconsidered how offensive this is to Disneyland DCA fans. The new Guardians of the Galaxy ride will just have an over-excessive amount of special effects and have a very dry, boring storyline. People who come from out of state or out of the country will leave scratching their heads, wondering, what did that ride have to do with California?
What does a haunted hotel have to do with
Hollywood California? Tower? Hollywood Hotel, isn't it? Hollywood Tower Hotel?
I suppose, yeah. But the Twilight Zone was a television show. Guardians of the Galaxy is a movie. Both have a negligible connection to California because
they're
both.
Anonymous wrote in, this was a terribly written article that mostly just bashed DCA's Tower of Terror.
I like how it's terribly written just because people don't agree.
You complained about how the exit hall was poorly themed, but what does Guardians of the Galaxy have? All capital letters. Anything to do with the California theme of the park? Tom, if the Tiki Room at Walt Disney World was replaced by a Frozen sing-along, I'm sure the author would be furious. And we could just say the Disneyland Tiki Room has much more history and is more of a classic.
No. You're comparing the Tiki Room to Tower of Terror. Tiki Room was created by Walt Disney. It's the first show to feature audio animatronics, and you want to compare it to half of the budget. The Tiki Room in Florida had a larger budget. It's bigger than the California one. We can talk about the show length and stuff like that if you want to argue about that. But overall, it wasn't built any less as nice as the original. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. People hating you over that one. Not liking your little editorial, Tom.
They only care now because it's going away. Like, Disney literally is showing you how much they care about this attraction. They've torn the sign off 4 months before it's closing. They literally have ripped the sign off of the building because they understand how little this attraction means.
I saw some people complain about that because they're like, can I at least get one last picture during the farewell? Like,
I they didn't even tell people. They literally were just like, nope. Bye.
Yeah, go on.
This is in the way. We got to do stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time they close, there's like already like new paint and stuff up on the building. Like they're not wasting time. They want to be ready by next summer and at any cost.
What's the closing day on that again?
January.
January. Okay.
I think it's gonna be like January 4th. Something like that.
They're finally in a hurry to build something.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's an overlay. You could do those real quick. I mean, all the props will be pre-built and everything. You just got to plop them in. Rip out the old, plop in the new, and open the damn thing.
That's all, yeah. So none of the actual ride system is changing then, right? It's not.
No,
like,
it's still the same ride. I mean, yeah. They're going to reprogram, but that can be done, as we learned in Florida. That could be done on a computer elsewhere, and you just drop the new programming in.
Huh.
I mean, I assume that the cars are going to have to get redone with some new walls and stuff.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, it's like the building is getting a bunch of new stuff on it. You're redoing the queue extensively. The queue is where a majority of the work's going to be. But then otherwise, I mean, that Tower of Terror is fairly bare bones to begin with, other than ripping out the lobby and the boiler room. There's not a whole lot you have to do. I mean, and the gift shop, those three areas you got to rip out and put new stuff in, and you're done.
Yeah. So. How are people enjoying the, because the entertainment's happening, right? The whole
Silver Lake Sisters. But it's in the queue. You have to be in the queue.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's weird. People hate the Lights Out. The Lights Out's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful. There's no audio, so it's, and it's just blacked out, and people hate it.
Well, what did people expect? I don't really know what you expected from a Lights Out, blackout Tower of Terror ride. I mean,
yeah, this is a horrible farewell. This thing is, and I will stick by my original views again. This is the goodbye this deserves. It's a piece of junk. It is garbage. It is garbage, and I hope it limps across the finish line like Jungle Book Alive with Magic did. The two of them deserve to no longer exist.
We got a couple minutes left. I know people out there in California are listening tonight. I mean, people are remarking on the blog, but at WDWNT.com, but they're not, I haven't really heard too many opposing voices, wanting to step up and call in and yell about this. So if you do, you got a couple minutes left here to sound off on why do you think Tom's wrong about this? Because, a lot of people on the website are saying so, and I mean, they're still, but I guess, any change will bring out those people, but like, I don't know, people are upset about this. Californians are more upset than you maybe think they should be.
They're upset about anything, though. I mean, there are times where it's certainly justified, but this is not one of those.
Did you think Disneyland park goers would agree with you and do not mind that it slips
into the
night?
I think there's a fair amount that do. I think otherwise this is just the cool thing to jump onto. This is like, this isn't Frozen. This isn't even Frozen in Norway. This isn't Guardians. Guardians replacing Energy is a far bigger deal. I mean, the original Universe Energy is pretty much the first real trackless ride system. That building is really neat in that it has the photovoltaic cells on top, collect solar energy. There's the dinosaur scene, which is a clear connection to the Ford Magic Skyway at the World's Fair. It's a clear departure from what Epcot Center means, as opposed to California Adventure, which is already filled with IPs, another IP replacing an IP ride, and not getting rid of the ride system, which is the part people love about Tower of Terror there anyway. Like, what? This is silly. It's a silly thing. Unless you're really a diehard Twilight Zone fan, this is a silly thing to be upset about.
Well, Jonathan is calling in about being upset about another attraction a little closer to home for us, Tom. Jonathan, good evening.
Hey, how are you doing?
So, Alien Encounter fan?
Yeah, today's news story is sort of the day I've been waiting for years, ever since 2003. Hopefully the end of Stitch's Great Escape will come sooner rather than later, but just going seasonal is just great, great news.
It sounds like it's only through January 2nd. There's nothing on the operational calendar beyond that. I wouldn't be surprised if January 2nd is the end of it, and they're really just going to scope out the building right now and only open it for the holiday weeks because they absolutely have to. It's kind of what it sounds
like. So it sounds like you almost don't care, Jonathan, right?
Replace it with, just get rid of it.
Yeah, you just want it gone. It's for spite reasons.
But Skippy's going to be homeless.
It's the only attraction in Walt Disney World I refuse to step foot in, and I never will. I just refuse to do it.
I only go in for Skippy.
I can't even make myself do it for that.
Oh, Skippy.
All right. Getting rid of Stitch out of spite because he took the plate. Doesn't matter what replaces it, Tom.
Jonathan, well, it would help if it was good.
All right. Thanks for your call, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Well, wrapping up things here tonight, Tom, I know, like we said, we didn't get to a lot of the Epcot Food and Wine audio, but people are going to be able to hear it on the next podcast.
Yes, and of course, we'll talk more about Stitch next week, even though it's our 45th show. We'll make sure we schedule some time in to really talk about that at length.
Yeah, next week's going to be fun, starting to count down the top 45 attractions in the history of Walt Disney World. And then, Josh, thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime.
EasyWW.com, and be sure to pick up your copy of the Easy Guide to Your Walt Disney World Visit.
2017, baby.
And remember, kids, it appears we've been licked, sir. Good night.